This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Reframing low anchors without damaging rapport. How to push back on a low anchor and keep the relationship intact. In short, a low anchor left unchallenged will pull the entire negotiation downward, even when both parties know the opening number is unreasonable. You can push back without damaging the relationship. Acknowledge the offer without accepting it. Then introduce a competing reference point. Ground your counter in objective criteria, not emotion or outrage. Name your number with confidence and give it two or three reasons to stand on. Definition: reframing low anchors is the practice of responding to a deliberately low opening offer in a negotiation by replacing the initial reference point with one grounded in objective value, market standards, or documented criteria, without rejecting the offer in a way that creates defensiveness or damages the relationship. There is a particular kind of silence that falls after someone opens a negotiation with a number you were not expecting. Not a pause, a silence. You had done your preparation. You knew your value. And then a figure landed on the table that was so far below what you needed that your first instinct was either to laugh or to walk out. I have been in that chair. In my early years, I handled it badly more often than I handled it well. I would reject the anchor with visible frustration, or I would cave under the social pressure of not wanting to seem difficult. Both responses cost me, and cost the relationship too. Reframing low anchors is one of the most precise skills in negotiation. It is not about matching aggression with aggression. It is about replacing one reference point with another, calmly and credibly, before the conversation has a chance to settle around the wrong number. Get this right, and the negotiation continues on your terms. Get it wrong, and you spend the rest of the conversation fighting your way back from a position that should never have been established. This much I know, the skill is learnable. Here is how to do it. Why a low anchor is so hard to shake. The reason an opening offer has so much power is not rational. It is psychological. Once a number enters the room, the human brain begins to treat it as a reference point, even when both people know it is an outlier. Every subsequent figure gets judged against that first one. A counteroffer of twice the anchor still feels high, even if it is actually fair. The anchor does not disappear. It just sits there exerting gravity on everything that follows. This is what makes reframing low anchors genuinely difficult. You are not just pushing back on a number. You are trying to replace a psychological reference point that has already taken hold in the other person's mind. And you have to do it without making them feel foolish for having stated it, without damaging the trust you have built, and without losing your own composure in the process. The added complication is social. Most of us were raised not to argue about money, not to seem greedy, and not to make things uncomfortable. A low anchor exploits all of that. The discomfort of challenging it feels greater in the moment than the cost of accepting it, which is exactly why so many people do not challenge it effectively. What you need before you can reframe anything. You cannot reframe a low anchor without a competing reference point ready to replace it. If you walk into a negotiation without knowing your objective criteria, your legitimate benchmarks, and your own number, you have no ground to stand on. Reframing requires something real to reframe toward. Before the conversation begins, you need three things in place. First, know your anchor, the specific number or position you intend to introduce if you need to counter. Second, know the objective criteria that support it, whether those are market rates, comparable contracts, the documented scope of work, or the measurable value you deliver. Third, know your workaway point, because reframing only works when you are genuinely prepared to hold your position. Without these, you are not reframing. You are improvising under pressure, and under pressure, improvisation almost always favours the person who set the anchor. How to reframe a low anchor. A step-by-step process. Step 1. Absorb the anchor without reacting. Your first job is to not let the low number show on your face or in your voice. Take a breath. Nod. Say something neutral. Thank you for sharing that. You are not agreeing. You are simply giving yourself the 2 or 3 seconds you need to shift from reaction to response. This matters more than it sounds. A visible flinch tells the other person the anchor has rattled you. A composed reception tells them you expected negotiation and you are ready for it. The anchor loses some of its power the moment you refuse to treat it as a shock. Step 2. Acknowledge without accepting. Before you say anything substantive, acknowledge what you have heard. Not with warmth or enthusiasm, but with neutral clarity. I hear that figure or I understand, that is, where you are starting signals that you have received the offer without signalling that you accept it as a valid basis for discussion. This is not softening for the sake of politeness. Acknowledgement prevents the other person from feeling dismissed, which keeps the conversation open. Rejection without acknowledgement creates defensiveness. Acknowledgement followed by reframing creates space. Step 3. Name your reference point, not your feelings. Now you introduce your competing anchor. State it directly. Based on current market rates for this scope of work, I'm looking at X. The number comes first, then the justification. Not the other way around. Many people make the mistake of explaining and qualifying before they name the number, which makes the number sound apologetic when it finally arrives. Lead with the figure, then support it. The standard for a project of this complexity in this sector is between X and Y. My position is X. Plant the anchor, then build the case beneath it. Step 4. Ground your counter in objective criteria. This is where preparation pays off. You do not argue about whose number is right. You redirect the conversation toward criteria both parties can accept as legitimate industry benchmarks, comparable agreements, the measurable outcomes your work delivers, or the documented cost of the problem you are solving. Looking at what similar contracts in this field have been settled at over the past 2 years, the range runs from X to Y. I have set my figure in that range. You are not attacking their number. You are inviting them to measure both positions against a shared standard. This keeps the conversation substantive rather than personal, and it protects the relationship. If you are navigating a situation where the anchor has created real tension in the room, the skills in how to de-escalate arguments during meetings can help you manage the emotional temperature while holding your position. Step 5. Invite their reasoning without conceding ground. Once you have named your counter anchor and grounded it in criteria, turn the conversation toward theirs. Help me understand how you arrived at that figure. This is not a challenge. It is a genuine question that serves two purposes. It shows respect, and it reveals whether the low anchor is strategic or whether there is a real constraint you need to understand. Sometimes a low anchor reflects a genuine budget limit, not an attempt to exploit you. Sometimes it reflects an assumption about scope that you can correct. Either way, you need to know. Asking opens the door without you having to cave to find out what is behind it. For difficult conversations where the stakes are high and emotions are near the surface, the approach outlined in How to Start a Difficult Conversation That's Blocking Your Team's Synergy applies here too. Step 6. Hold the silence after your counter. After you've named your number and invited their reasoning, stop talking. The silence that follows is not empty. It is working. The other person is processing your anchor, measuring it against their own position, and deciding how to respond. Many people fill that silence with concessions. They get nervous and start qualifying their own number before the other person has had a chance to respond. Resist this. Let the silence stand. Every word you add after your counter weakens it. Patience here is not passive. It is active and deliberate. Step 7. Respond to their move without losing the reference point. Whatever they say next, whether it is a revised offer, a defense of their original number, or a question, respond with your anchor still in place. I appreciate that. My position remains at X, and here is why it is justified. You can be warm, you can be flexible on certain terms, but the anchor point itself does not shift unless there is a genuine reason for it to. If the conversation calls for compromise, move incrementally, not dramatically. Each concession should be smaller than the last, and each one should be named and deliberate. I can move to Y, but only if we adjust the delivery timeline. Concessions without conditions teach the other person that pressure works. Adapting this process for remote negotiations. Video and phone negotiations create specific problems for reframing. You cannot read body language with the same accuracy, and the natural pauses that create space in person can feel awkward or technical on a call. The anchor still lands with the same force. You just have few cues about how it is landing for them. In remote settings, slow down your delivery. State your counter anchor more deliberately than you would in person, because you cannot compensate with eye contact or posture. Use silence even more intentionally. A pause of 4 or 5 seconds on a video call still works, even if it feels longer than it does face to face. Prepare a visible document if you can, a brief one-page summary of your objective criteria that you can share on screen when you introduce your counter. Seeing your reference point written down gives it weight and removes any ambiguity about what you said. The visual anchor reinforces the verbal one. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books They Write Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when pushing back on a low offer. The mistake: expressing frustration or surprise before naming a counter. Why it happens: the low anchor is genuinely shocking, and the emotional response is natural. What to do instead? Absorb the number in silence, acknowledge it neutrally, and move directly to your own anchor without editorializing about theirs. The mistake: justifying your counter before stating it. Why it happens: people want to build a case before naming a number, hoping the logic will make the number feel more acceptable. What to do instead? State the number first, then give two or three reasons. A number that arrives with confidence needs less explanation than one that arrives apologetically. The mistake: asking for a number in the middle of the range rather than above it. Why it happens: it feels more reasonable and less confrontational. What to do instead? Set your counter anchor at the top of the range you would accept, not the middle. You will be pulled down by the negotiation. Do not start in a position you cannot afford to leave. The mistake: treating every low anchor as a personal insult. Why it happens: a very low offer can feel disrespectful, and sometimes it is intended to be. What to do instead? Separate the number from the relationship. Respond to the position, not the intention behind it. If you react to the insult, you lose control of the process. The deal method for resolving conflict offers a useful structure for separating the issue from the person when tensions are high. The mistake: giving a large first concession to signal goodwill. Why it happens: there is a natural desire to show flexibility when the other person seems entrenched. What to do instead? Make small, conditional concessions. A large move from your anchor tells them the anchor was not real. Small moves signal that you mean what you said. Understanding how unmet needs can drive difficult positions is also worth your time. The piece on how unmet needs drive team conflict can help you read whether the low anchor is a tactic or a symptom of something deeper. Before the next negotiation, a practical preparation checklist. Use this before any negotiation where you expect an opening offer below your acceptable range. Number 1. Set your own anchor first. Write down the specific number you will state if you need to counter. It must be higher than your target outcome, but grounded in real criteria. Number 2. Identify two or three objective reference points. Market rates, published benchmarks, comparable contracts, or the measurable value of your work. These are your justifications. Number 3. Know your walkaway point. Below what number will you decline? Write it down so you cannot rationalize past it in the moment. Number 4. Prepare a neutral acknowledgement phrase. Something like "I hear that" or "I understand that" is your starting position. Have it ready so you are not improvising in the moment. Number 5. Plan for silence. Remind yourself before you go in that the pause after your counter is intentional. You will not fill it. Number 6. Prepare your question. Help me understand how you arrived at that figure. Know you will ask it, and know why to gather information and to shift the conversation toward their reasoning rather than their position. Number 7. Define what you can trade. If a concession becomes necessary, know in advance what you can offer and what condition you will attach to it. For situations where you need to advocate for your own position with people who hold more authority, the framework in how to use the value method to advocate for your team's synergy needs with senior leadership translates directly to high-stakes negotiation settings. Word-for-word scripts for managing tension in a professional relationship could also be found in word-for-word scripts for de-escalating tension with a colleague before it becomes a conflict, which is worth reading if you know the relationship is fragile before you begin. The ground you hold. A low anchor only controls you if you let it become the reference point for the rest of the conversation. Once you have introduced your own anchor, grounded in something real, stated with composure, and defended with patience, the center of gravity shifts. It will not shift dramatically or immediately. Negotiation really works that way, but it will shift. The skill of reframing low anchors is ultimately about knowing what ground you stand on before anyone else speaks. You prepare your position, you hold your number, and you keep the relationship intact by separating the person from the position. That takes practice, and there is no shortcut. but every negotiation you handle this way makes the next one easier. If conflict arises during the process, the guidance in how to handle conflict during meetings will help you manage it without losing the thread of the negotiation itself. Frequently asked questions. What is reframing low anchors in negotiation? Reframing low anchors means responding to a deliberately low opening offer in a way that shifts the psychological reference point without attacking the other person. You redirect attention to objective value, market standards, or shared interests rather than rejecting the number outright. How do you respond to a low anchor without damaging the relationship? Acknowledge the offer without accepting it, then immediately introduce a competing reference point grounded in real data or established standards. Avoid emotional language. Stay calm, stay specific, and frame your counter around value rather than insult or frustration. Why does anchoring work so powerfully in negotiation? The first number stated in a negotiation pulls all subsequent discussion toward it, even when both parties know the number is unreasonable. The brain uses that initial figure as a reference point, which is why a low anchor, left unchallenged, will consistently drag the final outcome downward. What is the difference between rejecting an anchor and reframing one? Rejecting an anchor dismisses the number and often creates defensiveness. Reframing low anchors replaces the reference point entirely by introducing a new one grounded in evidence. The difference is not just tactical. It keeps the negotiation moving rather than stalling it in a battle of positions. How do you set a counter anchor after a low opening offer? State your counter anchor with confidence and immediately justify it with two or three objective reasons: market rates, the scope of work, comparable benchmarks, or the cost of the problem you are solving. Plant the number first, then support it. Never apologize for the figure. Can reframing low anchors work in salary negotiations? Yes. When an employer opens with a salary below your expectation, you reframe by introducing market data, your specific track record, and the value you bring to the role. You name your number clearly, support it with evidence, and invite a genuine conversation rather than a bidding war. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.